discussion, let's just look at the strategies to encourage and motivate members to this commitment. But first of all, let's find out, first of all, look at what are the reasons that could be responsible for somebody to commit to any of this.
Please, you can put up the question up in the screen so that everybody can see, please. Amen. Rajit, go ahead.
So the first reason I put down here could be bad first impression. It could be the discouraging attitude of the members. It could be lack of love and care. It could be also when a need of a brethren is not met. Now, the big question is that what should the church do when members are not committed to church and its programs, and they're expecting the church to be committed to their own personal programs? So the first approach to this is, first of all, to find out why these members are not actually committed to church. This should be the reason. If one of the above mentioned reasons, the first bad impression, discouraging attitude, lack of love and care, when the needs are known, is the answer is yes, then we have something to do as a church. This we can find from the book of Hebrews 10:24. Because of time, I can read from my own listen. Hebrews 10:24 said, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." So if any member is not committed or not showing, it's not enough reason for us to just avoid the person or neglect. After all, he's a born again, he has been coming to church, listening to the word of God, he shall be matured enough, he should know what to do. And let us also not forget the fact that when a man becomes a born again, the Bible made us know that he starts as a babe, and gradually he starts eating milk and getting matured. So it is important as a church for us to use whatever we can to motivate and stir up love and good works to our members that are not truly really committed. Then the second thing to look at, if the members of the church are now expecting the church to support their own programs, what should be our own response? Also, we look at it from the scriptures, when God is just telling us that the just love that it takes to overcome and overlook every shortcomings of any member of the church. And then we should be working together as brothers and sisters. So if there's a strong love among members, most of all these things will overlook and forge ahead and get things done. Also, we should look at, as a church, are considering that when God is telling us that there's a very big joy in heaven just for the repentance of soul, so it is very important to God for just one single soul that was touched. So that means, if this is very important to God that owns the universe, for a repentance of one single soul, that means we have to invest all that we can as a church to make sure that just one of us that has a problem or that is ailing, we should, you know, forget every other thing that we're doing to make sure we work on just that single soul. Because if that is achieved, it's a very good plus for us, and God will be happy that we as a church we have done that. Also, let us as a church try as much as we can, because the Bible said the iron sharpeneth iron. So it doesn't really necessarily mean it's only when I didn't see a brother in church, then I wait until the next Sunday, I didn't see. No. If I don't see a brother in the church, I should not be expecting until I get a list. I can, within the week, and call, make a call. Say, "Brother, I didn't see you in church today. I hope everything is all right." Just like what we are doing also as a follow-up. If somebody comes to church for the first time, it's our own duty to make sure we follow up. You don't know what is going on. Sometimes I make a call. Just you say somebody, I'll say, "Ah, well, I'm so happy that you called, because I've been going, somebody can open up to you the challenges he or she is going through." So it's very important. That single call, just, it might be 1 minute, it might be 30 seconds, can go a long way to save a soul. So it's very important as a church that we try as much as we can to communicate, to reach out to each and every one of us as much as we can out of our tight and busy schedule. Very important. It's one of the ways to really get some of our members committed. When people are not showing love and you are showing love to them, it's a plus. It could go a long way to get things done. All this we can find out if we read Galatians 6, verse 2. I read from here because of our time. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we read also from Book of Romans 12:21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. It's always very, very encouraging that people, despite what they do, they feel that ordinarily, because of what I've done, nobody's going to respond. Nobody's going to talk to me. Nobody's going to. And people go all their way, ignore and overlook all that you have done, and keep following you, you know, contacting you, calling you, following up to find out what is going on in your life and your affairs. It's very, very encouraging. There's no soul, no matter how difficult, that such an approach will not get along with encourage. Okay. So finally, let's look at the book of Luke 15:7. There is more joy in heaven over the lost sinner that repents. So repentance does not mean that somebody have stopped coming to church or the book. Repentance can be even while you're a member here. You believe that somebody have done something to you that you just decide to hold it against the person. But on the other hand, you say, okay, if God is telling me that love, you know, covereth all multitudes of sin, decide to let go and approach the person. I think the first approach, you even call the person and say, the other day, either you said something or there's something you did to me that I didn't like, but I just want to open up to you. You might be shocked. The person say, please, I didn't know, or I didn't understand. So, but it's very important as a church for us to really communicate and let us know, because the first approach is that let the person know first. Then if the person is not adamant or becoming stubborn, then you take the next step. Maybe talk to one or two other people. But first, let the person know first. I think it will be the first of all. As we do this, God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. A hand of applause. We hear you might say something or do something. You don't know that you indirectly offend somebody sitting by you. And you might not even know. And the person will be bearing grudges on you. As a child of God, as a daughter of God, as a son of God, I think it's important if we just go to that person directly. We might start learning it. Talk to that person. Say, brother, sister, look at what you did, though. I didn't like it. And the person might not even know that they offended you indirectly one way or the other. We open up to each other. Or we can call each other, pray about each other, call people. I mean, that's what we're trying to do as a ministry, to call people, to reach out to people by the grace of God, so that we can all be one in the Lord and be a family that is united and not divided, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our next question, which is our last question for the panel before we go into the open floor for everybody. It says, is it wise to leave the church as a result of offense? It's still the same thing we're talking about. When somebody offends you, the person might not even know. And then, is it wise for any of children of God to leave the church because of a result of offense one way or the other? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I think my wife gave me the hard question, but it's easy to answer anyway. First of all, leaving the church, this person don't know God. Or he might know God, is a baby Christian. Because where we come from Eastern Nigeria, I remember when the ACU, they don't have no drum, they don't have no nothing, they clap their hand, the song they always say, Nimu lonso ile madanya niruadoroye. Nimu lonso ile madanya niru. He said, in the house of God, we don't come to look for Pastor Emmanuel or Paul Dave or anybody. You come to look for God. This is what it is. So when you come to church, and you leave because of friends or something, it means you are still a baby Christian. Because normally you come to speak your problem or talk to your problem to God. That's what it is. You know, and you know, we hear a lot of things. We heard a lot of things from, you know, when we ask people the reason why you left the church, why are you not coming? And then people always give long list excuse. Some complain about the pastors, some complain about the church. But you see, when you really know God, when you've been grounded and rooted and built the word of God, you come over here. Even when Usha tell you, hey, get up, sit down, you just stand easily. But some people get offense too. Even give them offering envelopes. Some people see their face like somebody who drinks ginger. It's like, why do you hand me or this envelope like this? I'm telling you, we see all these things here in the church. Now, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that's where this problem is, where somebody's supposed to be. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, why can't you humble yourself into the hand of God and let this problem be solved? Because you come over here, you want to come and show up, you come and show these things. Last time we you know, had the church, like, we run on late in the church. Going home, my wife, both of us stopped in the next supermarket to pick up things to go. We saw someone. We asked, I don't want to mention his name or her name. He said, why are you not here anymore? Oh, this is your church. Is it this your church? This is your church. Where your pastor always said, God told me. It's only in God to talk. But because he found out that this person didn't know God. This person is like the Jewish waiting for Messiah to come, not knowing that Messiah is coming, that we are waiting for the rapture. Praise the Lord. He's waiting for Messiah to come. I said, so your pastor always said, God told you. I even told her, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, even God talked to me too. He said, God talked to you too. I said, yes, he speak to me. I'm telling you. And then the next one, he said, oh, look at your pastor. One time, you know, even his wife, pastor's wife said, okay, people, let's pray and spirit, let's pray and spirit, let's pray and spirit. It's like, can people pray speaking in spirit like this, like this? Yeah, see them speaking Yamaha, Yamaha, Suzuki, Suzuki, sorry, sorry. I said, what do you mean? I said, me too, I speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. It's not, it's not a joking matter. I'm telling you the gospel truth. This is what we encountered. We've seen all these things. And then I said, listen, this was the promise God given to us in Acts of Apostles we should receive. I said, I speak in tongues. He said, okay, I'm going to go to your church now. Because this person is not in tune with the word of God. Instead of him to humble himself, when you come to the church, go through Sunday school. Pastor Dorothy or the Sunday school teacher will tell you what it means, you know, to be close to God, how to receive, and all this. This person thought that when he stepped into First Square, Orange First Square, 170 Central Avenue, he get born again right away. You get immersed in the spirit. He starts speaking. He's a baby Christian. Amen. So we hear a lot of things here. So the Bible said again in the book of Hebrews 10:25, you know, do not forsake assembly of the brethren. It's when you come in together here, we are praying, you know, iron, I think Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. When you come, then we contribute. Look at what our brother said here yesterday, this morning, the prayer he prayed. Even on Wednesday itself, on prayer meeting, when our Pastor Dorothy, when she was praying for us here, the Spirit led her in something again that we should pray in spirit. If this person who don't know God, who's not born again, I'm not born again, who has not been in tune with things of God, he will take it for granted. Praise the Lord. So we hear a lot of things, we see a lot of things. Even my brother, okay, sorry. Even my brother Bruce, both of us, when we, some people you call them. That some people you call, what they're gonna tell you? The church is okay. What am I saying? Sometimes when Pastor Victor make an announcement and tell the people to come into here, you know, we pray for them. Some of them bring out their prayer requests. Say, please, I'm going through these things, and because not everything we can bring to the pastors, not everything we can bring to the. Oh, okay, okay. Because if you don't put the time, I will continue. We share grace. Go home. So, praise the Lord. So, not everything we can bring to the pastor, not everything we can bring to the church, but as as the FBI of the church, CIA, we are investigating on your behalf. And then we too need prayer too. Because we have been countering a lot of things with these people. Some of them may call them on the phone. Even the way they hang the phone is like, it's to talk that maybe you're a credit card caller. And they hang the phone like you, bah! I say, wow. So some of them, I call, say, please, my name is Dave Narek. I'm a brother from Orange Four Square. I'm just want to know how you're doing. You know, we are doing with hand phone. So what am I saying? When you come close to the word of God will open your eye. What am I saying? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you up. All these things will be easy. I myself, I was a victim of it before, because when you look at this humble something, that is where I learned this thing through Pastor Shinedi Mane, because he said when he came from Nigeria, a whole pastor planted church in Nagoda and all this, and he went through Sunday school. If it's me, I will be a Sunday school teacher right away. Why are you telling me, you know? But he humbled himself and go through Sunday school and do it today. That's where we are today. So what's the other thing? This question is it wise to leave the shop with your friends? The answer is no. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. A round of applause for him. Amen. Our God is good. I mean, from what my husband has said, Brother Dave. Brother Dave today. From what he has said, you can see that sometimes some people come to the church. They need nurturing. Everybody is not in the same level. And as a children of God, it is also important that we pray for them so that God will open their eyes. For those that have not been speaking in the Spirit, that don't know the encounter the Spirit of God, so that they can encounter and know that something great is happen, does happen when you pray in the Spirit. If you were here on Wednesday, oh my God, it was on fire. When we were speaking in the Spirit, when there was Wednesday prayer, then you know that God does change his life. God does things great. And for our members too, and we're appealing to everybody, not just us here, to everybody. If you know anybody that has been offended one way or the other, anybody that need encouragement, please let us know. That's why we are here talking about all these things. You bring it to our attention, you bring it to the attention of the pastor, we can all tackle this thing. And we keep on praying for our brethren. Amen? Before we go into the question, please get your Sunday school offering ready so that we can pray over it while we're having question and answer. Your Sunday school offering. The ushers can give out the envelopes, please. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're getting our Sunday school offerings ready. I just wanted to say something. I want us to understand that you as a person, the Lord is counting on you for that, those souls that we're talking about. You know, and again, you need to understand that if you are the offense, Jesus says something about it. He says, if you make one of these little ones to deviate from the way, then there is a problem. It says it's better that you know, that a stone is hung on you and then you're thrown into the river. So you also have to ask yourself question: am I part of the reason why people are leaving the church? Is it about my behavior? Because some of us segregate. Some of us look at faces. Some of us, if it's this person, then I'm in. If it's the other person, then I'm not in. That can be an offense to somebody. Just like my sister said, we all are not on the same level. We can't just say yes because he doesn't come anymore, because he acted that way, then he is the bad one. No, that's when we have to love them even more, as Jesus Christ expects us to love them. So we want to appeal to you. Watch the way you speak to people. Watch the way you react to people. Watch the things you do around people, because there are people that are very sensitive, and God expects you to be a vehicle to bring them to the kingdom, not to drive them away from the kingdom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. You have a question? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Wait, let's pray over the offering while we are collecting it, and then we'll... All right, question. Please have your questions ready, amen? Anybody has a question? Contribution. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have a contribution, not
sure.
a question.
Go ahead.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Some of us go into a church, new members, with exaggerated or sometimes unrealistic expectations. What you expect, the needs you expect to be met by the church, some of them are unrealistic. We should be conversant, always be in having our minds the fact that those who are in charge of the church, our leaders, are human beings too. And despite their level of spiritual development, we also have our shortcomings. So people may tend to make excuses for themselves, but think that the other person is God. None of us is perfect yet until we get to heaven. So let us be forgiving. Having said that, also, there are genuine reasons why people may get offended at what is happening in the church or what somebody has done to them. So for you who have that core ministry of reaching out to them, try to find out what the issue is. Some of them may be things that we need to address, something we've neglected, we've overlooked. So it may not be in every case that the person is showing that it's not a mature Christian, baby Christian. They could have genuine excuses, issues that need to be addressed. Let's not overlook that. Let's not say that every situation has to do with immaturity. It's not so. So let us also approach them with love. Show genuine concern for whatever they've expressed as what has led them to want to leave the church or leave the church. We come here primarily to hear the word of God. So as far as I'm concerned, the gospel we're hearing I've never heard that before. You know, I've passed through many churches over the years from Nigeria to here. So the gospel, the word of God I'm hearing from the pastor, particularly senior pastor and other pastors, is changed so much. The Sunday school, the Bible studies, these things, I don't know how I live. I stand from hearing these things. I will really, really be, tarnished. I know what happened when I was in Nigeria. The 4 months I spent last year, I went several churches. But to hear the word of God preach, undiluted word of God, revelation that God gives our pastor, it's uncommon. That's the truth. So, but for those who are yet to get there, who have this unrealistic expectation, let's in love try to love them, try to explain to them if they talk to you, because they talk to some of us too. We see them. Try to explain certain things to them. Tell them, that we love them. We care for them. For whatever reason that made them leave. Also, it's not everybody that comes here that will stay in this church. This church may not be meant suitable for everybody. Some also may be troublemakers that God will carefully take away from here. That God doesn't want to come and scatter here. So it's not in every situation, every case that somebody has left here that, that should bother us. Some may be good riddance. But let us not lump all of them together and say that everybody is, they're all baby Christians, they're all troublemakers. Let's find out if there are things we're doing that we need to correct. If there are areas we need to amend, let's do that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Our God is good. One minute, my sister.
We need the grace of God.
Praise the Lord. There was a time here in this church and somebody We know. I know this family, they've been Christian for a long time. I was shocked. I saw him here in the church. I said, why are you here? He said, God told me to come to this church. I said, you sure? He said, yes. I went straight and called Pastor Chinedu Mali. I said, please, follow me. Come and hear this thing this person said, because this place is not Ashanja Market or Men Market where we are looking for customers. He said, God told him to come here. As I said before my pastor. And what he said before the pastor said, he was driving and God brought him here, said, this is your church. And that particular person, that particular family, they came over here, they went through Sunday school. He went and joined men ministry, women ministry, they joined many ministry, and they're enjoying it. So when you come to the church, you don't want to belong to any of them. You don't want to join, you don't want to hold, you don't want to humble yourself. You just want to get everything fast, like this, like the thief before Jesus in the cross. It doesn't happen at this time. You have to go through the procedure and then join the ministry so that we can help you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I would say that it's not wise to leave the church because as a result of offense. Because what the church does is the church is pointing me and you to Christ. And what the enemy does is looking for a way to change you or turn you around to point you to false, to begin to see something that is not real. And we know that the race is on you. You're running your own race. I'm running my own race. So once enemy succeeded in taking you or removing you from the church, he's trying to take you where he's trying to destroy you. The Bible said that he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Even if you go to another church, you will still see fault. In any church you go, you find something that will discourage you. The only place you cannot find discouragement is in heaven. So if you are trying to leave because somebody has offended you, it's not the best thing to do, because enemy has trick. He has dug a hole waiting for you to fall in there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Before we continue, please, for those of us that didn't know that came late, today is outreach and visitation ministry. So we've done panel discussion and now we're into question and answer. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. I just want to let us know that the church is universal. The church of Jesus Christ is universal. That is a body of, the church is not the building where we gather to worship. This is just a house that houses the church. We are the church. Though as many as have given their lives to Jesus Christ, we are the body of Christ. But we need a facility that can help us so that the sun and the rain will not beat us. So, and this church universal is all over. When we came from Nigeria and we joined the church over here, they embraced us because it's the same spirit, the spirit of Christ. And one thing we teach in Foursquare is that the church should have an open door policy. Every living church should have an open door policy. And our prayer when we started this church from Newark, we were asking God, Lord, those that, because the Bible said it is God that adds to the church such as should be saved. It is God who owns us, who, you know, formed us, that directs us. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God knows where He has need of you, where He has put resources in place to equip you, to make you to be all that He has destined for your life. Because He said He knows the thought that He thinks towards us. So we prayed when we were starting, Lord, as many as you have destined to be part of this church, bring them to yourself. We don't want anybody to come here to become a square peg in a round hole. And in my Sunday school, I usually encourage them, while you're here, you can be a worshiper, you can be a member. But while you're here, just keep on praying, Lord, is this where you will have me to establish? Is this where you will have need of me? Is this where you have prepared things that you're going to use to make me to be all that you have destined for my life? So we encourage them. I say, just feel free to keep on worshiping, and you also feel free to pray and ask God, if this is where God will have you to settle, which ministry will you have me serve in? I said, there are so many ministries on the board. Pray and ask God to direct you. You mustn't finish all the Sunday school classes before you join any of those ministries. So we encourage people, our members, if anybody leaves, if that person is genuinely born again, and maybe God is leading him or her to go to this other living church, our primary goal is to make sure that you are going to another living church. But if we see that you are still a baby Christian, or maybe you're not yet born again, then we go after you, we keep on praying, we keep on encouraging you. Human beings, they have different temperaments and dispositions, and it's only God that can touch the innermost recesses of a human being. So we are praying, asking God to please redirect this person. He still does not know, maybe because the person is not yet born again. We are praying for the person, and we keep on calling from time to time, encouraging the person. You can't force the person. And we pray, Lord, direct somebody who will minister to this person so that he will hear the real gospel and be genuinely born again. But for those of them who are genuinely born again, if we make sure that you have joined the living church, we encourage you, please keep on fellowshipping. Keep on feeding and keep on growing. Because this might not be the assembly where God has equipped things to help you. Maybe he has need of you in another place. Praise the Lord. So these are the things you have to establish. And then you have to find out, if this person genuinely born again, and if he's born again, which church is this person going to? But if that person is not born again, that's where we raise a red flag, and we begin to pray, and we begin to try to reach out to the person. And we are also praying, Lord, send somebody that will help that person to straighten up. But like they said, we are all just simply coming here just to be more like Jesus, because that's our target. You're not to be, you know, none of us here, you know, knows it all. The primary thing is that we have left and we are on our way, but we haven't gotten there yet. God is still working on me, working on my husband, working on all the other pastors, just as he also working on you. That's why we all come, so that we'll still keep on hearing and we'll keep on changing. But one thing I know, where I was years back is not where I am today. But I have not yet arrived, but I'll keep on moving forward. So long as I keep on feeding on the word of God. Amen?
Amen. A round of applause for our pastor.
Amen. Our God is good. Sister Happiness.
That side? Okay.
Praise God. Good morning, church. Okay, I'm just going to appeal to our members. I happen to be one of the ladies that remind the other ladies about, you know, events going on in church. So I will appeal to all the members to please, if you have any personal problem, illness, whatever it is, you know, I'm sure you will, you know, be willing to share it with one person. Just tell one person that something is going on, so that person can mind the appropriate ministry, you know. So at least in that way, they can reach out to you. Instead of, you know, being offended that you're sick and nobody came, you know, because really, I've had it all as a lady. But one thing I can tell the people that reach out to people is, before you call, please pray about things, because you're going to meet a lot of things from the other end. Some people are complaining, some people are, you know, but, you know, pray about it. You might be the person to pray with that person. Instead of asking them, why didn't you come, you can ask them how they're doing. And some people are willing to push out whatever is going on in a split second. And that might be an opportunity for you to pray with them. And if you have any suggestion, like if they don't have a ride to church, or their kids, you know, they need somebody to look after the kids, then that's the time for you to tell them the things that are happening in church, so that we don't just, you know, go to them and say, oh, you didn't come, so why didn't you come? You know, just talk to them. You know, they're willing to tell you what is going on. And I've had somebody tell me that we make too much noise, we dance, the music is too loud. You know, there's nothing spiritually for me to start talking to the person about. At times when they argue, you need to pull back. If you don't have anything to tell them, you know, that's their personal thing. Just pull back. But if somebody has said, where is it in the Bible that we have to do marriage, you know, the one that we do? No. The one that, the renewal of vow, that I should show them where is it in the Bible. I just called you to see how you're doing. So I'm not just going to, you know, but let's always make sure that before we call them, you know, we have that mindset that whatever we meet, we're going to, you know, try and solve it in a spiritual way. That's why we're calling them. So let's not call them and put blames on them or make them feel that, you know, why are you guys asking me? And if you have any, if your phone number is disconnected, please tell somebody your recent number, because I have a lot of numbers that are not working. You know, so always, you know, let's know that this is a place where we take look after each other. In America, the support system, like family support system, is not here. So we are the one that we should be supporting ourselves. So tell us about your phone number and let us know what it is that you're going through.
Thank you, my sister. Amen. Yes, doctor. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Yes. This issue, I just want to address this aspect of taking offense and then going to the point of leaving the church. John Bevere, he wrote a book called The Bait of Satan. Our brother have already addressed this a little bit. There is always room, there's going to be opportunity for us to take offense. Always in life. No one is exempted. So, but what we do with that offense, it's then what becomes an issue and a problem for us. The Bible says we should guard our hearts, for out of them comes the issues of life. So we really, really, really need to be very careful about offenses, taking offense. Taking offense, therefore we guard our hearts to be quick to forgive. Because, as our brother mentioned, who spoke a while ago, that it's really the bait of Satan getting us into a state that God cannot help you. God cannot help us. Any kind of offense, somebody didn't greet you, somebody did not notice you, or whatever it may be, any kind of offense is a bait of Satan, getting you to the point that your prayers will not be answered. I'm not the one who's saying it, it's the word of God. That if you have aught against someone, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and don't forgive them, then God will not answer your own prayers. All right, so it's a serious situation. When it gets then to the point of leaving the church, what I am addressing is for, if you want to leave the church, like our pastor have mentioned, not everybody is called to this church, and it's okay to go, but make sure that your heart issue is resolved. As far as offense is concerned, pray God to help you, because sometimes you can be so offended and it's so difficult for you. Then you ask God, please help me to deal with this thing. The Holy Spirit will help you. So then you don't get trapped in that bait of Satan.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, my sister. Brother Steve. Okay. We have two more questions. We have about 5 more minutes left.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Anybody? Any other person? Go ahead, Rusty.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All of us should understand, you know, how human beings how human beings are. There is nothing you do in this world, even if you do the best of it, you will see a lot of people who will come out to say, oh, what you are doing is not good. Praise the Lord. So, those people, because I've been encountering a lot of them. There was a church I went, and somebody there was asking me, oh, you don't know me again? I said, where do I know you? He said, I used to come to Foursquare, but when I come there, but now that I found the church, I said, okay, glory be to God, you'll find a church. But what we are going to be doing is that, you know, when we come in Nigeria, we come from all different backgrounds, right? And we come here, maybe we marched here, there are a lot of people from Jehovah's Witness. If we come here, there are a lot of people from Celestial and Cherubim and whatever, and you know, Anglican, Catholic. If we come here, you need to be grounded and rooted to see what is going on here. If your eyes is not open, you will be, you know, comparing it with what already you have gotten from that side. You can't be able to reconcile it. Somebody, I was talking with somebody, I agree with her. Say, this our church is advanced level. I'm telling you, say it's advanced level. That we should have started telling people, telling them how if they sin, how they're going to be punished, judgment, and this and that and that. You see, you got to read the word. Be grounded and rooted and established in it. And when they're speaking, you don't even need to base on what pastor is saying, but your the word that is in you, because already you have guided your heart with the word of God. It will be coming out. You will know that this is true. I know I was somewhere before, but the moment I came here and I was hearing, it's not because of Foursquare, because I'm hearing my pastor, finding out that what he says is what he do. Right? What he says is what he do. There are other pastors, what they say is not what they do. It will help you to understand this word. And when they're telling you that they get revelation from God, please believe it. Amen. Don't worry about those people over there. Even if you bring everything to them, they're still going to complain.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One thing that is very important that the church we know is that when we welcome new members in that virtual room, we welcome them every Sunday. There is any newcomer in the church, there's one paramount thing that we'll tell them. We'll tell them, listen, we're here, we love you, we appreciate you coming to worship with us for the first time, but we are not here conversing for new members. We are here to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing in this church. Because pastor is preaching for everybody to know God for themselves, to grow for themselves, not to be running from one person to the other, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, when you yourself can do it. So we tell them, we are not conversing for members. If you have a church that you go to that is a living church, you can continue with the church. But if the Lord leads you to come and worship with us, to come and fellowship with us, you are highly welcome. We welcome you with open arms. If you can't go to the pastors, you see these members here, because some people are not comfortable running to the pastor at the first time, or they won't have access. We tell them, you can easily come to us. You know me, you know Sister Chinoye, you know Brother Jude, Brother Dave, Sister Ngozi, Sister Flora, all our members. You can easily go to them, say, look, I have this issue. How can I go about it? How can I see the pastor? And then we can lead you through. That's what we tell them. We tell them we don't canvass for members, but we're here to preach the word of God, for us to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And like we said, everybody here is important. And if you know anybody that have an issue, please bring it to us. And the Lord will keep on blessing us. Amen? The last one from our sister, and then we'll round up. We don't have much time. Eh? I'm so sorry. Okay, 1 minute and 1 minute, and then we'll finish. Amen?
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible makes us understand that the word of God is power. So I will want to say my own contribution, that everyone should go back to the book. That is the only direction. By the time you study the word of God, I didn't say read the word of God. Create time to study the word of God. The word of God will speak to you. And when you study the word of God and it has spoken to you, you will see that there are things that you think that matter does not matter. You will just let go easily. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Right, Chris. And then we'll finish. Pastor.
Hello. Time is up. You had 5 minutes. We're more than 5 minutes. Before you go, sit down. Before you go, I just want to make two announcements. Number one is telephone counseling ministry. And we've been announcing it over and over. If you have any issues, please call us. We're there for you. No one should be left behind. Have you heard that before? Do you even know the number? You don't know the number. And we keep, and I was telling with Daddy, I said, Daddy, watch what will happen now. I said, we are going to be announcing it. We are going to make flyers. I said, after the end, watch, just watch. You see how many people will take notice of it. Why do we sit here and the announcement is going on, we don't even listen? We've given you a number. No matter what is happening to you, call this number. That if you want to reach any ministry, this number will help you reach the ministry. We want to know what's wrong. We want to know what's going on. We want to be there for you. But you won't hear. You won't call. You won't do anything. Stop murmuring. Murmuring will ruin your life. Murmuring will what? Destroy your life. I was studying this morning about the tongue. I realized that our body has steering. And the steering is the tongue. That the tongue can steer you to destruction or steer you to life. That's what I was studying this week. That our body has steering. The Bible says, as the sheep is controlled, the same way your tongue, what? Controls. So you might as well do yourself a word of good and let the word of God control your tongue so that we take you to life, because it can destroy your life. Amen? And so number two is that on the 15th, we have a service of songs here. This is one thing we owe everybody. If a brother or a sister is doing service of songs, you must come. You must come. You complaining they haven't visited you. Have you visited anybody? Ordinary service of songs, you won't show up. To come and stand with your brother who lost somebody or your sister who lost somebody. Evangelism is not only to go win souls, it's to keep the ones you also have. And so one way you can do evangelism is when people are sorrowful, you come stand with them. You stand with them. If people come and people are doing service of songs and they see all of us like this, what do you think will happen? It will be an invitation to come and serve the same Jesus that you are serving. But when somebody, once it's not you, all your small groups you have here and there, parochialism, the Bible calls it manifestation of the flesh. It's called the party spirit. You belong to a group. It's called party spirit. It's in the Bible. It's work of the flesh. Once it's not part of your small, even groups you people have all over the place, you won't show up. And if they don't wear uniform for you, you won't wear uniform for them. You know, as a pastor, all these people are talking. I don't even need to hear you, because in the spirit you can perceive what is good. But we'll keep teaching. I want to assure you we are not discouraged. We'll keep what? Teaching. In fact, we are fired up to teach some more, because then there is need for people to grow from carnality to spirituality. There is need to teach you some more. And we'll keep teaching by the grace of God. By the time you grow, you will drop childish things behind. Like she said, you drop all the childishness behind and begin to engage in the things that matter in life. We don't have eternity to stay here. In the next 10, 15 years, some of us will not be here. Let's be real. You don't have time to play games, wasting your time for nothing. Question is, what legacy are you leaving behind? Because one day you take an exit. All the things we are talking won't be important. One day you reach your exit and off you go. What is murmuring and complaining going to leave for you? What will it leave for you? Praise the Lord. And it doesn't prepare you to face life battles at all. You have more important things to know. You have more important things to engage in. Life is full of ups and downs. And instead of you equipping yourself to face them, you are wasting your time in things that don't really matter too much. And when the things face you, you won't even know what to do. You crack, fall apart. And you start looking for who didn't come for you. When I got saved, nobody came. My wife and I went to the street looking for them. Nobody. We went on the street looking for them. Who are so? Maybe God raised salvation. We went on the street looking for them. She's here. We went looking for them. We went searching for where is the life center. Nobody showed us. We found life center ourselves. And went in there. And within a few months, they made us life center leaders. Her own life center grew from, I don't know how many, to 20, 23 or something. Everywhere we put our feet doing life center, the life center will catch fire. The thing will start growing. And then they began to put us into, you know, it's a lot of testimony. And that's how God brought us here. And this church is growing again. You know, so you don't get nothing by sitting there and wanting people to come and grow up. When you grow up, you take responsibility. It is called eating bone. You stop drinking milk. The church should not be full of babies who want milk. If you remove it, where's my milk? Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.